I find it a bit ironic that, you know, our country, our society is, you know, really gears up for Christmas, December 25th, and everyone looks forward to it. And yet, on the other side, if you think about, like, what the meaning of December 25th is about, it kind of stands in contradiction to a lot of the values of our society. And what do I mean by that? Okay, so everybody's, you know, anticipating December 25th. It's a celebration. Well, what are we celebrating? Well, we get to the heart of it in the Gospel of Matthew today, chapter 1. And Joseph receives this visitation from an angel in a dream, and he is to name this child Jesus, right? So he's giving him his name. A name is an identity. This is who you are. This is what you're about. Okay, so that's the understanding of in the Old Testament. So his name, Jesus, which is the Hebrew comes from the Hebrew word Yeshua, which means Savior or Redeemer. Okay, so his whole identity, his whole mission, what everything that he's about is saving and redeeming. And then we hear Matthew say what? Because he will save his people from their sins. So his entire work is about what? Salvation and saving us from our sins. And that's what we're celebrating on December 25th. In order to really truly resonate and align ourselves with this celebration, that would mean that we would have to recognize that we are sinners, right? And that's why I said the irony kind of in our culture is because there's a kind of a denial of sin, right? Unless you've killed somebody, that's the only, you know, or you weren't nice to someone. Those are the only major sins, right? I'm just being facetious, but think about what we're anticipating, what we're celebrating, and who he really is and why he came. If we truly align ourselves with his mission, that means in order to truly celebrate, we have to recognize ourselves as sinners. And the reality is, if we say we don't have sin, John says we are liars. We are liars. And in the Old Testament, we hear in Proverbs that the just man sins seven times a day. That's why in the confessional, I'm never impressed when someone, you know, has been away from the sacrament for 6 months or a year and they can't really think of any sins that they've committed. That's not impressive to me. I'm impressed when there's a whole litany of sins. No, I'm not trying to glorify, you know, the reality of sin, but I know that we're all major sinners. And so the more that we recognize and confess, the more self-awareness we have and the more we're connected, the more we're receiving from Jesus, who is Savior. He just doesn't do saving. He is Savior. He's equal to Savior, equal to Redeemer. This past Tuesday, I had to do something I really don't like to do, go to the dentist. And when it comes to the dentist, well, I mean, the dentist is nice, and, you know, the people that work there are very kind. But it's not uncommon for me to cancel my dentist appointment and, you know, schedule for some time in the future. Maybe that's why I get like 10 or 20 emails, calls, texts about my dentist appointment. Or maybe that's because everybody cancels their dentist appointment, right? But I was thinking about going to the dentist and what they do when I go there. This time, normally they go there, they do this like serious cleaning, which I don't mind that. It's like this rubber thing that zzz, you know, all around my teeth, and it has this, you can choose the flavor that's on your teeth, and then they do some really good flossing, you know, I'm happy about that, but the bad part came when there was two cavities, and so, you know, I could do the cleaning kind of by myself, but when it comes to the cavities, well, I can't fix my cavities, I have to go to a dentist, right? So think about the main way in which, the primary way after baptism in which Jesus saves us, in which Jesus forgives our sins, is what? The sacrament of confession. That's the way we're reconciled with God. That's the way we truly receive the Savior and embrace the Savior after baptism, is through the sacrament of confession. Well, going to the dentist, right? It's not necessarily something I'd love to do, of course, but I know that there's some things that I can't take care of for myself. And you know what? I could have gotten by not going to the dentist and, you know, fixing those cavities. I didn't even know I had cavities. But you know what? Over time, what? My teeth would have eroded more and more, right? And I would have started had pain, and it would have compromised the happiest thing that I do in my life, and that is eat. Okay? It would have affected everything after a while. But here, this expert is able to fix the problem, to drill out the poison, right? And to bring about some healing. So that happens in the sacrament of confession. Well, what else happens? I mentioned that there's a serious cleaning that goes on, right? So the cavities are kind of like mortal sins, grave sins, and we're going to have them, right? Not every time, but we're going to very likely have them. Very few people have not committed mortal sins. But going to the dentist, I also receive a cleaning, a better cleaning of my teeth than I could ever do by myself, right? I brush my teeth every day, right? So why do I need to have them cleaned? Well, because it's a deeper cleaning. And the flossing that happens by the hygienist is, you know, better than I could ever do. Well, that's kind of think about that. That's kind of a good reason why we confess also venial sins in the confessional. Can I confess my venial sins and be forgiven of them every time that, you know, before I go to bed, I do my examination of conscience and I ask for forgiveness? Of course I can. And what do we do at the beginning of Mass? We have the kind of an examination of conscience. We call to mind our sins, and we have the confiteor, right? We confess our sins. Is forgiveness given there? Yes. But what happens at the dentist that I can't do by myself when I'm brushing my teeth? A more thorough and deeper cleaning of my venial sins. That's exactly what happens. That's why it's so important and valuable to confess some of our venial sins on a regular basis. I'd be happy to go to the dentist once a month to have this, just the cleaning part. You know, it's the cavities that bite and stink, right? So it used to be the practice that people, let me give you this statistic. In 1965, 40% of Catholics went to confession once a month. 40% of Catholics went to confession once a month. Now that statistic is 2%. So look at everything that we do. Okay, I realize you're getting sick of me talking about my teeth, but think of everything that we do to preserve and take care of our teeth, right? We're talking about our soul here. Can't we do just as much as we're doing for our teeth as we are doing for our soul? And think about this. If we let our teeth go and we don't take care of them, it really will compromise the entirety of our health, right? Because it will affect the way that we're able to consume food, our enjoyment in life. Well, we're not talking about our teeth here. We're talking about the depths of one's soul when it comes to sin. We're talking about our interior freedom. That's what we're taking care of. That's what we're purifying. That's what's being washed clean. And that's why God sent a Savior. His name is to be Yeshua, because he will save his people from their sins.